Yes, it's about that time for the Grow Coach Podcast to take it outside. Smell of summer, but we're working year-round with a flame of propane. Sizzle is the sound. Kosher salt and pepper rubs and dry brines to the perfect temperature, reverse sear and rest time. They take their first bite and you see that grin. That's why we do it. It's a Grill Coach win. Outdoor cooking, grilling, smoke and barbecue. So much flavor to teach and learn and share with you. The Grill Coach Podcast to level up your skill. Who's ready to get out and grill?
Hey, welcome to the Grill Coach Podcast. Welcome to today's show. I'm here with my man, Brian. Brian, what's happening? How you doing today?
Jay, my friend, I'm doing well. Good to see you. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Welcome back. Welcome back. Man, we're just having fun, you know, this new journey of ours here, recording and letting Frankie make us sound great.
Do the thing, Frankie.
All right. Today, I had this idea, right? I'm just going to tell everybody else. I'm not talking to you, Brian. I'm talking to them. So one day I was like, Brian, what if we did a whole series on cast iron cooking? Because I do like cooking with cast iron. I think everybody kind of likes cooking with cast iron, wouldn't you say?
Anybody that tries it does.
It's like the rarest, rawest form of cooking. I think of cowboys, you know, like, I mean, you know, settling the West.
Yes, with that tripod hanging over the fire out there. Yes.
Yep. We'll talk more some of those options when we're talking cast iron cooking. But there's a lot here. And I think even as we were looking into things, we're learning more stuff. But that's what we're here to do. Learn, teach, share. That's what we get into. But today's episode, we got to start with highlights. So, Brian, I know you got a highlight for me. What you got?
I'm going to tell you about cooking some pork chops, Jay.
Pork chops. Okay. Double boned or the thick, or bone in or bone out?
They're going to be bone out. And I'm going to let everybody know about my cheap side here, which is considerable.
Okay. So, budget economic cooking.
Yes. Every once in a while, I like to go to Costco and get that big old pork loin.
Ah, okay.
It's like about 2 feet long, costs $1.99 a pound. This time I picked one up that was about 8.5 pounds. And I ended up, you know, I take it home, lay it out on the cutting board, and I have this knife that is like an inch and a half wide. And so I use the knife, I lay it down so that, you know, one edge is on the end of the pork loin, and then I roll it up vertical and I cut. And so I end up with pork chops that are as wide as my knife.
Okay, hold on. So just because you got a slab of pork and then you chop it, that don't mean it's a pork chop. This is pork tenderloin, my least favorite cut of pork. Just saying.
Well, so I feel, I got some learning to do for sure, because at Costco, they sell pork tenderloins. You know, they're often marinated and whatever. And they're that tiny little medallion thing. And you cut that open, there's two of them in there. This pork loin it's meaty. It's like big and round, probably 4 inches around.
So, see, let me tell you. You said they have pork tenderloins. And then you said, well, this pork loin. So I think, that tenderloin, it's just that nice dark red piece that's part of that bigger loin.
Okay. Well, we have just the loin.
I think that's what that is. Let's just say.
It's big.
I think. Yeah, it's big. And I know what you're talking about. I bought it a lot of times myself. That's why I know.
I like it because it's my choice because it's big and cheap. And like we've been talking about before, nothing takes smoke better than a piece of pork. So
very true.
So I feel like this nice cheap piece of pork, and it's got a good bit of fat cap on it. So when I cut them up, I don't always trim it.
Okay. All right. But it does have a lot of silver skin. Like, and I kind of freak out about silver skin.
I can see that. There are some times that it's a little bit challenging.
Sinewy.
Yes. It's a little challenging.
Sinewy.
Well, the thing that I like best about it is that I broke open my grocery ad and our local Kroger here was touting that they had $5 packages of pork chops.
Okay.
And I was looking at
Costco to.
Okay. Yeah. So I was looking at the ad a little bit closer and I was going, okay, hold on a minute here. It's a $5 package and it says that it's 1 pound. And I can see clearly on the picture that it's got 5 pork chops in it. And I said, wait a minute. You're telling me you have 3 ounce pork chops? I'm not into that because the ones that I cut are nearly 9 ounces.
Oh.
Because I can control how thick they are with buying this big old loin.
With your fancy knife. Yeah.
Trust me, it is not fancy. That's something we need to get into another time. But, you know, I've got these nice thick pork chops that, you know, we're really happy with. And, you know, they just came out as good as ever. We'll get into what my techniques were for that so that we can talk about that another time. But
what do you mean another time? We're here. You got my you piqued my interest. I've been off of pork loin for a long time. I'll tell you why later. But now I'm listening. So, you know, don't tease us, Brian.
So it's got to be reverse sear always in my book with these. And so I did a few of them on my smoker with intention to bring them over to direct fire. And okay. then I did two different sets over direct fire, one with the intention to pull it off and then stoke the fire, and another just to go straight to direct and leave them on there while the fire came up. Because, you know, I've always pictured it as linear, that I'm going to go reverse sear and then immediately take them right over to the hot side. But we know that when you take that lid off, you know, because of course you put the lid on so you get all the smoke. When you take the lid off, the fire's not as hot as it possibly can be. So if I stir those coals around a little bit, spread them out so that they get a little bit even, and then leave the lid off so they have as much oxygen as possible, mm-hmm. that fire's just going to get ripping.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and they were all terrific.
Oh, okay.
Some were more terrific than others.
Self-judged. Here we are. All right. Good, good. Well,
I feel like somebody used to say they were expertly cooked.
Okay. All right. So details now. You're smoking them. What type of wood? Maybe what type of rub? What temperature do you pull them off when you're done smoking them?
Okay. I'm pulling them off at 110 with intention to go up to 145 over direct heat. The wood is the chunk of wood that I have out of the bag in my drawer. I do not know which one it is. I'm not convinced that I can tell a difference tasting it. It does make a difference when I'm out there cooking because personally, I think mesquite smells terrific. I just grab whatever bag of wood chunks they have for me.
Okay, Brian, you're blowing my mind, dude. So you have a drawer with random wood chunks?
Oh, I mean, it's got the bag of the wood chunks in the drawer. I just got to have it in the drawer so it doesn't get wet out there.
but whatever it is, you're not really sure what. Okay.
It's flavor of the month.
All right. Can I give you a confession, grill coach confession right now? I have never personally, I would never purposefully cooked with mesquite wood.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dude, it sounds terrible. Mesquite. It's not a friendly word.
And
I never heard somebody say that it smelled good until right now.
You've been to Texas barbecue.
Yeah, they use oak. Post oak. Do you like how I said that? Because that's how they said post oak.
Y'all.
Anyways, I'm intrigued. You got me thinking. I might have to go petite. Okay, mesquite. All right. Yeah. Okay, so sounds good. So you cooked to 145, and I imagine they're very tender, juicy.
I was happy with all of them. You know, spoiler alert here, foreshadowing for a future conversation, but They do not all come out as dry or as moist and tender in all three different cooking applications. And I was quite surprised that the driest one was the one that I took directly to heat, because I thought it's going to get done fastest. So it's going to be probably the most moist. But the one that I rested and the one that I had put on the smoker at 250 degrees were much more moist and tender.
Wow. Okay. Man, this is a pork loin masterclass.
On the cast iron episode.
All right. Well, let's just chalk that one as a Grill Coach win, Brian. Pork
yeah,
loin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, learning moment and win all at the same time.
All you right, can win. Cool. All right. Well, my highlight is not as exciting as yours, but, you know, it's still a very quick cook, and it was kind of like an emergency cook. You ever have that time when it's like, oh, man, people are coming over. We got to have something. Then you run through your head like, well, what do I have in the freezer? What can I try to defrost and cook? And that never works, right? You just you just got to go get something fresh. And so.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I get the notice. They're arriving in 2 hours and I'm 20 minutes from home. What do? I stop by my neighborhood Sam's Club and I was going for pork chops. Okay, I'm lying. Pork shoulder steaks, but you know, they're still pork. They're still chopped.
That's a delicious piece of meat too.
And they're usually pretty inexpensive. They're pretty thin, so they'll cook pretty fast. And so I was like, perfect. I go, and there's none there. Like, oh man, that's the worst part about like trying to get something at the last minute. Now what do you do?
But you're at the mercy of the counter, aren't you?
Yep. I pivoted. I did look at the prime ribs that were marked half off for some reason, but I'm not cooking prime rib right now. And I would probably just cut it up and make ribeye steaks out of it anyways. however, I did find a skirt steak and a little package of skirt steak. Perfect. I'm going, taking home, and I don't even have time to dry brine this. So I did a quick thing where it's like, all right, let me pull them out the package, season them with one of my favorite Clark Crew barbecue brisket, Jack brisket rub or something like that, and let those sit while I got the grill ready. And I I'm not really sure what to do. I did that, and I grabbed a pack of asparagus because I love asparagus on the grill. Yeah, it's
good. Yes, stuff. Number one vegetable.
So I put those on the grill. Now I'm thinking, I feel like I need something else to go with it. I find I got some soy sauce. I got oyster sauce, little Tabasco sauce, boatload of brown sugar, and I just make like a glaze real quick. Just put it all in the bowl, start mixing it up like crazy because I didn't cook it, and so it was really hard to get the brown sugar to dissolve. But I wanted a tangy sweet sauce that was going to like really help out the meat, because I'm just thinking I didn't dry brine this, so I'm kind of freaking out because I hate it when it's like something's dry and I should have dry brined it. But I just felt like this needed some more flavor, so I put it indirect on my grill. I used some cherry chips because I still have them in the bag. And I feel like cherry makes a darker color on the meat, but I'm with you. I don't know if you taste any difference.
But I agree. Cherry does make that color, doesn't it?
Yeah. I feel like it gives you a good color. And so. And even what happened is I got them on the reverse side, on the smoking side, you'd say, alternate side. And then our friend showed up. And then we get to talking to them, and I forgot that the meat was on the grill.
Oh.
Yeah, so I finally get over there and pull them off, and they look like they are ready to come off right then and there. And but I was like, nah, I'll still. I didn't sear them, but I just put some sauce on them, put them on there a little longer. They probably were like 170, 180 kind of thing like that. But I think that skirt steak, there's so much, especially smoked the whole way. You know, slice them up. Make sure you slice them against the grain. and just sort of serve some bits. They love the sauce. They love the meat. Another grill coach win.
I'd say so. It sounds delicious. Saved by homemade barbecue sauce. I want to ask you, you're talking about the temperature of that that skirt steak, you said, right? Skirt steak?
Skirt steak, yeah.
It's so thin. Do you find it difficult to get that to medium rare anyway?
Yeah, that's a good question. The real thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to get some char marks on it. Mm. And that's what I wanted to get char marks without trying to, you know, I guess dry it all out. Mm-hmm. And so that was all the word I was really looking for. I wasn't trying to get it to medium rare, but I did want to like get some smoke, get some good color on it. Especially yep. You can see when it starts to shrink a little bit, but I wanted to get that char on it. And I felt like I was too high a temperature. If I just charred it then, and they would just dry out. They would turn into, you know, beef jerky time. So
you would have had bark on both sides of a really thin piece of meat. It would have been a lot of bark.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, like we do, we had to call an audible, right? And just, it's not really what I was planning to do, but it kind of worked out. That's the best thing about barbecue. I feel like it's the best thing about barbecue and grilling. You can start out with, this is the mission. We're going to talk about cast iron, and then we spend 20 minutes talking about pork and beef.
It's good stuff.
And it's all a good time, right? All right.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Let's get back to topic. We are talking about cast iron, and today specifically, we're going to be talking about selecting and buying cast iron. We're going to give you a little nibble on the cast iron topic. We're not going to try to talk the whole thing and everything we think about it, because that would take us for a while. So we'll have more time for that, and we'll feed you some episodes on cast iron here and there as we go. But first, let's do a grill coach recommends that has to deal with cast iron. What do you think, Brian?
Yes, indeed. You know, seasoning your cast iron is one of the most important things you can do to ensure longevity, to make sure that your food comes out good, that it doesn't stick. You know, lots of different things that we're talking about here, and you got to be able to season your cast iron. And so we're going to point you guys towards some Lodge seasoning oil over on thegrillcoach.com.
Excellent. Make sure that you guys are subscribed to The Grill Coach, and make sure we're whitelisted, because every once in a while it goes in your junk mail for me even. I'm like, what am I doing? This is the main thing when I buy barbecue accessories. It's coming from our own email, so I need that stuff. Well, Brian, let's take a quick break. We're going to then come back, and no more chicken steak talk or whatever, dude. We got to get this topic out. We're going to be talking about buying, selecting cast iron. Okay, welcome back. That's fun. Good break. I'm ready. what did we think, like, we were even getting into with cast iron? I mean, you know, I know you were selfishly just thinking about what you want to cook, dude.
Yes, of course. I'm always thinking about what I want to cook.
All right. So what do you got? What did you want in there?
Well, you know, we need to be considering what kind of things we want to be cooking, and we need to be thinking about how much do we want to spend, and then we got to figure out where we're going to buy it. So, you know, I want to ask you, Jay, what do you have in your arsenal for cast iron grillware?
So I feel like I want more. It's one of those things that I really love cooking with cast iron. But honestly, I don't do it enough, which is kind of the inspiration for this series. Let's talk about this. And so I have a Lodge, you know, I think it was a 10 or 12 inch pan, probably a 10 inch pan. I have another one has a broken handle that fits really well in the Weber kettle without the handle.
And funny how that works.
Oh, I've used that quite a bit. It was like, wow, this is... You know, and even my youngest son said, "Dad, that one's broken. Why are we taking that?" I said, "It's not broken. It's modified." Yeah. That one especially, we'll get to talk about what I cook in it. But I have that broken one. So I use that one primarily on the grill just because I find the handle is hard for me to work around when I'm on the grill with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also have the flat plate, where I would say it's like a rectangular deal, and it has sort of like sear or raised edges on one side, and the other side is just completely flat. So I have one of those, and it was excellent the first time I used it, but. I hate calling myself out on this, but it's one of those things. Is it really maintenance heavy? Because I'd want to use it again, but it's like, it's something that I kept outside. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. And now it's like, I got to prepare this. And so, you know, I just don't put that much planning into, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to prepare all of this stuff. Right. Like, so it's kind of a man. It's still out there. It's ignored, but it's still out there.
I'm going to drop you a tip right now, Jay. I hadn't thought about this until you mentioned it.
Okay.
I store all of mine inside my Weber smoker.
Oh, wow. Dang.
It's watertight. Nothing ever rusts in there. If I'm going to cook on it, you know, of course, I have to pull everything out and like put it on the table behind me or on the ground or whatever. But then, you know, as soon as I'm done cooking, it just goes back in there. And it stays out of the dirt, the dust, you know, I'm out there cleaning my patio with the blower and everything, and we don't have to worry about dirt getting in it and all. Yeah.
Dude, that's a huge one you drop right there, man. I think it's going to get better for you than that on this show.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Grill Coach podcast.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's fantastic. Cause even like that would remind you that it's even part of your arsenal. Because when you start collecting so many things, you kind of forget that you have these pieces.
Yeah, when you see it, you're maybe inspired to do something with it, you know, as opposed to uninspired when you're saying, oh, man, I have to clean that thing? No way.
Yeah. So I also have, this is the still carried on from my days of the Big Green Egg when I used to own that one.
Ooh.
It was a cast iron grate. The whole grate was cast iron.
Yes.
That grate
round,
was
round, right?
Round grate. Yep. And I think it was 18 inches, so it doesn't fit on the Weber kettle. But
it fit on my Weber kettle.
You have an 18 inch?
I got the little one, yes.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you bring that over?
Well, I'll ship it to you. It'll cost $200 to ship because it is heavy as all get out.
This is true. Do you ever just put it right on your regular grill grate, though?
Well, let me finish telling you.
Oh, okay.
That thing is so unmanageable. I thought it was the best idea ever when I had it on the Green Egg, but it is really, like, really hard to mess with. And especially, it's heavy. It doesn't clean well because... I mean, it's nice when you can scrape a flat surface for cast iron. Well, now these are great grates. They don't scrape too well. And they just, you're pulling these out to put charcoal in or whatever. It was very unwieldy. I used that one once.
Makes great sear marks, though, doesn't it?
It did not. I was like, oh, man, just use the grill grates, you know, the accessories on top. That makes great seal marks.
Nah.
And it's not all of the stuff. And that's made of aluminum. So you can't talk about that on this show. This is cast iron, buddy.
That's right. That's right.
Cast iron.
It's for another day.
All right. Well, so I do have another lodge thing. Okay. I do have like this sort of buying addiction, right, with any grilling products. So I walk into Cabela's one day, and they always have the most beautiful laid out section of all different types of things. And I bought the one that has like the 8 cupcake pans or something like that. So it's like a cupcake pans. And I would make peach cobblers on the smoker inside those things.
Oh, dang.
Those are fantastic. Now, I've done that a bunch, dozens of times. That one's great. Great.
You got your money's worth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The money I spent on the other one kind of makes up. But so that kind of rounds out my arsenal. And that is probably my favorite cast iron one to use. Just because of the whole uniqueness of it, the presentation of it, you know, I mean, it's it's so much fun.
Yeah, I imagine that's pretty cool to take that out and serve those little nuggets up.
Very much so. Yep, yep, very much so. So
that's good.
What you got in your arsenal?
Well, I was gifted some Dutch ovens. I've never bought a Dutch oven, but I have three. Two of them, all of them have those little feet on the bottom so that like you can set up your coals so that you don't have to put it right in a fire or right on your barbecue or whatever. You can set some blue bag coals up and put them on the ground.
Okay, wait. Tell us what a Dutch oven is.
Dutch oven. Just think of like a like your spaghetti pot from your kitchen, only it goes outside because you don't take the spaghetti pot outside or you get in big trouble.
And it's cast iron,
Yeah, it's made out of cast iron. It's nice and thick. You know, one of our favorite things to do with it is to put it on the smoker and make baked beans. They come out great. They catch all the smoke flavor in there. It holds the heat for quite a long time, which is, you know, really helpful there. You get nice even heat when you're using your Dutch oven. And so three of them, all three of the ones that I have feet on the bottom, which is handy because it lifts it up, you know, off the coals. If you're in a spot where you put them directly on the coals, like if you're camping and you put it right in the fire, man, you get some real hot spots. Because obviously the fire is touching your pot rather than it kind of hovering over it. All of the lids have a rim on the top as well, so that you're talking about being able to make that cobbler. You know, we've made lots of things similar to that. Gosh, one of our favorite things to make is this Mountain Man breakfast, where you just mix up like hash browns and eggs and bacon and all this stuff in your Dutch oven. And you treat it like an oven. So you put some coals on the bottom, you set your Dutch oven over that, you put your lid on it, and then you put some more coals in the top of your lid. Yeah. And they have, all three of mine have a rim that will hold those coals up there, because that's dangerous when you're out with kids around and coals can slide off. I think
cowboy country is dangerous. That's what you got to be ready for. You know, you got
survival of the fittest.
I just got flashbacks of watching Yellowstone. Like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
But one of my Dutch ovens, while it has the rim around it, it also has feet on the top, which I just learned about this the other day, and it is so handy because now you flip that lid over and it's like a frying pan itself.
Wow.
So it's kind of like having two cookers in one, which I really like that.
Talk about versatility. Dang. And you paid nothing for it? Wow.
Yes.
Lucky you.
Call me a lucky guy. You know, you're talking about that flat piece that you have. I happen to have three of those sort of griddles as well.
Okay.
And same story as you.
They were one all side given is, to you?
No comment. One side is flat, which is great for, you know, we happen to use ours for smash burgers on the grill.
Yeah, yeah.
Works out great. But the other side is sort of ribbed. It looks like a grill. And I've thought, you know, that thing's probably pretty handy, but I'm never going to flip it over and use that side again. Because I put that thing over the coals, and now it is just smoky and charred and like dirty. So luckily, I have two of them.
No, just think of it this way. You got clean fire, and it restores the surface. You're good. Throw some oil on there and... throw some seasoning oil and no, I don't know. Oh,
man. The color of that stuff when you wipe it off with the paper towel. Don't show that to anybody that you're feeding.
The problem is you're using blue bag. If you use natural lump charcoal, you know, that's the way the cowboys did it. Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get into this sometime, but I'm not a lump guy.
Yeah. Well, you drop blue bag like three times this episode, and this is cast iron cooking. Okay. Briquettes. All right. We'll get somewhere with that.
Yes.
All right. Well, okay. So we kind of talked about what we got. Matter of fact, I think I have a Dutch oven cast iron, but it was blue. But it is heavy. Oh. So is it
like enameled on the outside?
Yeah. Is that cast iron?
Little, Yeah, they probably cast iron and then coat it in enamel. And I have a feeling if you take that outside, you know, you're never taking that back in the house.
Yeah, she's not going to like that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good point.
Yeah, whether you can go back in the house is a different story. But, you know, just the way the smoke comes up off the fire and everything, I feel like it's just going to wreck the outside of those things. That's why we want to stick with the ones that are just all black.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. So if we're looking to buy something, what budgets are we looking at? Like what are we thinking cost wise? I know we're not going to get them free, right? Okay. Okay.
Wait, you can, I don't know if you want to count on that, especially if you want to cook this weekend.
Oh, okay.
But collecting them over time is certainly something to do. You know, on the very lowest end, you could probably go to a yard sale. You can go to a thrift store. You can go to like your Facebook marketplace, and you can find somebody that's trying to get rid of them.
Wow. Okay.
You probably always can. Now, it's a matter of how much work you want to do to sort of restore it and clean it so that you're happy to use it. Where if you buy something new, that stuff comes pre-seasoned. It's ready to rock.
It's ready to go.
And you pay for that. You know, you can go over to Walmart and you can get something pretty cheap for $30 or something like that. But you found some others that were a little bit more than that, didn't you?
Yeah, let me share with you some of the ones that I've found that, one, I'd never heard of. First off, I thought all cast iron was made by Lodge. That was it. It's like, is there any other name? No, I don't know.
It's the Kleenex of cast iron.
Yeah. So, but there's a Lancaster cast iron. Mm. Just to give you an idea, the 10.5-inch skillet from Lodge can go for $30, where the Lancaster goes for $175 on Amazon. So $200.
Six times more.
Yeah. How about that?
What do you think you're paying for when you pay six times more?
Hopefully it's something that you don't have to do a lot of work with. Will it cook for yourself?
Your food comes out perfect and you don't have to clean it very much.
And so there was a Victoria. That's the little cheap one. That one's a $25 guy that you can find on Amazon. Hey. And so I'm guessing it might not. No, it looks like there's a little label. There's a little V.
Okay. It's not generic.
Not generic. Yep. Victoria. So let me see. I have some other ones. Stargazer is one. Stargazer is what I've already heard of. I did kind of forget when I was looking through this episode. But it's kind of like a chef's version of a cast iron skillet. And that one is the low, low price of $115.
Ooh, okay.
Smithy cast iron, that one is $160.
You're getting out of my price range.
A little more than free. Field Company, $145. Boro Furnace, $210. I guess you get where I'm going here. There's a whole lot of versions of cast iron. And even just this website I'm looking at, they said the way they tested all of these cast iron skillets was by cooking eggs on them.
Nah.
Fried eggs are the ones that's going to stick more than anything. Have you cooked eggs on your cast iron?
Man, probably inside the house, you know, on the ones that we keep indoors, but I'm feeling like I want to try that outdoors.
Yeah, because you do have skillets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you forgot to mention that in your arsenal. The Dutch ovens, the free flat ones.
But yeah. Well, I would probably use, if I'm going to cook outside, though, I'm probably going to use the lid from that one.
Oh, yeah. Your fancy versatile one. All right.
Oh, yeah, because I want to do that whole, like, flip it up in the air thing, get the egg to...
All right.
I mean, if it's not going to stick, you could do just about anything, right?
I guess, yeah. You get fancy. Don't lose it, though, because I imagine egg on the concrete is going to be hard to clean up.
Better call the neighbor's dog over. Man.
I definitely love the idea of using eggs to test on how sticky or unsticky your cast iron is. And I feel like this is something that I've done before where I've cooked it in the pan, but I maybe want to try some of these. I did scrambled eggs, though. I think maybe scrambled eggs is kind of cheating.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure I've ever cooked eggs that didn't stick to the pan in some way or the other. So I'm going to have to sharpen up my technique. And maybe it's all about I've been using the wrong pan.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, well, maybe one day we'll do an episode, cooking eggs, because, yeah, I don't have that problem, Brian.
I'm going to need to learn.
So I would like for us to see, you know, these pictures of these given a Dutch oven. So maybe you can post them on our Grill Coach Instagram,
yeah,
you know, one of these days. And we can see this, especially this three-prong one that turns into a pan and that was a lid, you know.
I'll probably even get a cook going on it for you then.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. I feel like you got to give it a name. It's so special. You know, you come up with a name.
Something like Barney or
whatever inspires you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I'm making notes.
So we've already even just talked about it, and I don't know if we really hit it the nail on the head. If you want to cook with cast iron, there's essentially every device out there you can find. You can find, I mean, obviously we talked like pots, that would be the Dutch oven. You can find skillets. You know, that's probably the one you recognize the most because that's the one they're always hitting over the people over the head with in the movies, right? With a skillet. Muffin pans. You know, I got a muffin pan, right?
Yeah.
Griddle style. Those are like that. What else am I thinking about?
You know, we also have one other thing, Jay. It's round and it's a bit like the flat ones. It's got, I don't know, a little bit like a skillet too. It's like a 1-inch rim that goes around it. It's probably 15 inches around and it's perfect for a pizza.
Oh, I was thinking tortillas, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than the lid for that Dutch oven. So, you know, it certainly has a different application on that one. And I totally forgot about it until just now. But yeah, it's real good to be able to do a pizza, you know, inside the Weber because it fits inside the Weber. You just make sure you got a really good hot fire going.
Okay.
And put it right on the grill grate and cook with the lid on. And yeah.
Okay, you cook a lot of pizzas. I think one day we have to talk more about cooking pizzas outside because that is definitely not in my wheelhouse.
I do like it.
That's a 6-foot grilling technique. It's over my head, guys, over my head. So anyway, I was just highlighting the versatility of cast iron, just about whatever you want you can get. And it's definitely a different way, I think. The cast iron cooks so much better just because they hold a lot of heat really well. And then so if you're searing something, doing something low and slow, overall, it just seems better. And it also seems like it will never die. You might have to just work on maintaining it. Can we have an episode about maintenance of cast iron?
I think so. There's a lot to go into how to clean it, how to maintain it, and how to do exactly like you said, have it never die. Because I've seen lots of people say you're going to pass this down to your kids.
Okay. I mean, and now how awesome is that, right? Especially if you might have some little ones or whatever, you're cooking in this pan and maybe, I don't know what tender age you might say, okay, son, this is yours now. Okay, daughter, I'm passing you.
Yeah, it's like a housewarming gift when they move into their first home, right?
Oh, wow. That'd be a good one because you have to spend the money on it.
Give them the one that we got for free. Yes.
Nice. All right. So so with that, though, where would you say are good places to purchase cast iron?
Grillcoach.com. Follow the link.
All right. Good. Trained well.
You know, I've bought some things online before. And I think that what scares me about that is what you mentioned earlier. I think you were half joking, talking about how much it would cost to send something that big and heavy. Mm. So, you know, you're definitely going to be looking for some place that will offer free shipping. So Cabela's, Amazon, if you're a Prime member, you know, lots of places like that will have, if you buy over a certain pr- price point, then they'll include free shipping.
Okay.
So, you know, consider that. When you're talking about locally, I've seen ads at Walmart. You can get Lodge equipment over at Walmart. We're talking about Cabela's and, you know,
like Bass Pro Shops, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, the outdoor stores, right? Like,
yes. Yeah. You know, I think you were talking about earlier, just the really big row section of cast iron camping stuff that they have at Cabela's. You can sort of get lost over there. Just kind of putting your Christmas list together for sure.
I just look for an excuse to buy something. Let me buy something. Like, I think the last time I was there by Cabela's, I ended up buying the iron scrubber. It looks like that's probably going to be in our maintenance episode and cleaning.
But, are you talking about the little plastic plate?
No. This one is like, it looks like a sponge, but it's like covered in chain mail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, dude, how cool does that sound? I just described to you. I saw your eyes light up because
yes,
and that's what I thought too. Ooh, look at that! I've never used it to clean anything with. But I got one.
Pictures of Monty Python flashing through my head.
All right. Well, anyways, man, I love the fact that this opens a whole new brand of cooking. I think that in some of our highlights coming up, we need to be sharing some cooks that we've done in cast iron. This is not something that we're just going to just drop on you and not talk about again, but it's just another way of cooking. And I mean, cooking outside adds a versatility because you can do it just about on any grill. And man, I think it's just fun stuff. So
yeah, main dish, sides, and I just learned tonight about awesome desserts. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. And even my broken pan, that was always my onion pan that I would just slice onions and put onions in there and just let that cook. Because so many times I'm reverse searing something, it's easy to keep that on the hot side while I'm sort of smoking the other side. I'm being more efficient with my fuel usage. How about that?
Yes. It's all good.
All right. Well, I think we got to wrap this up, man. Brian, I appreciate you, man. This was good, man. Good topic. Good ideas there.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff here, and I'm looking forward to getting into cast iron in the future.
All right. Well, I hope that anybody out there got questions about cast iron or want to share some of the things that they did, you can email us at j@thegrillcoach.com. I don't know if we have a Brian@thegrillcoach.com.
Let's do it. Brian with an I. I'm old enough that my parents weren't creative enough to give me the Y.
That's funny. And hey, we will definitely share it on the show, whatever we see, what we get. And before we leave, I want to thank all our patrons and just appreciate you guys supporting the show, allowing us to do the things that we get to do. It really does help us host the show, distribute the show, record the show. We couldn't do what we do if we didn't have that kind of support. And so it's so awesome that we can do this. We can continue to talk about things that we love. We can learn, teach, share everything in barbecue. Okay, so I want to encourage you to go select and buy your favorite piece of cast iron that you will hopefully pass down one day to somebody very fortunate and get outside and grill.
Oh, yes, it's about that time for the Grill Coach Podcast to take it outside. Smell of summer, but we're working year-round with a flame of propane. Sizzle is the sound. Kosher salt and pepper rubs and dry brines to the perfect temperature, reverse sear and rest time. They take their first bite and you see that grin. That's why we do it. It's a Grill Coach win. Outdoor cooking, grilling, smoke and barbecue. So much flavor to teach and learn and share with you. Podcast to level up your skill. Who's ready to get out and grill?